Well, in this teaching, we're going to be talking about Abraham, later called. And before we get into this, because it's such an important teaching, I would like to pray and just depend on the Lord to give us the very best teaching we've ever had on Abram and Abraham.
That's right. This story of Abram, or Abraham later, as you said, Darren, is probably the biggest foundational teaching for the body of Jesus Christ on faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I agree with you. We need prayer in this teaching.
So we're going to pray in faith,
thank
right?
You, Lord, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we thank you for Father Abraham, who really is the father of faith on the earth. And we owe so much to this man who was so precious and so diligent. And Father, today I ask you to help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And may we remember our Christian heritage. Father God, it didn't just happen. It didn't just drop out of the sky. But some people paid a very dear price that we might have the spirit of grace and mercy and salvation we have today through the New Testament.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' powerful name, we will hear, understand, and retain what you give us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, before we get into the Old Testament, Barbara, I have to go into the book of Galatians.
Well,
just
you were
a little
saying
bit.
That, yes.
Just
and we're going to be talking about that in our second hour. But yeah, it would be good to give this as a foundational setting for Genesis, because Darren, you were saying on the way here that a lot of people treat Abraham and some of the Old Testament stories as stories. They're historical events, and they have nothing to do with what we are doing here today in the body, and that's absolutely wrong.
That's a tragedy.
It really is. When it comes to Abraham, everything that he believed God to be is so pivotal for us today in faith. So,
well, I think of Galatians chapter 3, and I'd like to begin by reading verse 12. And, of course, this concept was mentioned in the Old Testament, but it says this, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, I'm reading in verse 12, he who practices the law shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Wow.
We have received through Jesus, who is called the seed of Abraham, the mighty blessings of Abraham. And when you look at what happened with Abraham and with his son and his grandson, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, later to be called Israel, we see a tremendous pattern of blessings and favor.
Mm-hmm. We really do. And in the New Testament, Paul, who, you know, as we know, wrote probably 2/3 of the New Testament, he talks so much of Abraham and his walk with God. He speaks of it in Romans, and we're here in Galatians. He talks about the two covenants that were made. One covenant of the flesh proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. And then the other, who is the New Jerusalem. He speaks of the Jerusalem above, and that is the mother, Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac, who, you know, is so important here in the lineage of Abraham. So
exactly.
And that's
you
in Galatians
that?
4, talking about the bond and the free in right. The 21st through the end of the chapter. He's saying, we're not children of the bondswoman anymore. We're children of the free woman. And really, there's such freedom in faith, Darren. I know a lot of people would say, boy, when you walk by faith, that's pressure. I mean, sometimes you're pushed into a corner with this faith thing. Faith brings freedom. It really, truly does. And Abraham knew freedom. And those of you who are walking in faith, you understand that you're walking in freedom.
Now, when we get back into the book of Genesis, we're going to be talking specific about Abraham, later Abraham. But in verse 16 of Galatians 3, I just have to go back to this, Barbara.
Oh, okay.
It says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ.
Oh, praise God.
And he goes on to say, what I'm saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, did not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on the promise. Mm. But God granted it to Abraham by means of a promise.
Of a promise. And Abraham was tested in this, Darren, and we're going to see this in this teaching, that it did not come without the testing and the pressure and the darkness and the gloom and the terror. And yes, mistakes also by Abraham himself, but God never put those to Abraham's charge. He really didn't. He didn't say, well, you know, you sinned with your wife, calling her your sister, and you sinned with Hagar. God never brought those up to Abraham. So,
well, at the very last verse of Galatians 3, I have to read it. And if you belong to Christ, and I'm assuming that most of our teaching here is going out to Christians.
Yes.
If you're born again believer, what we're teaching you today is yours. But you have to be a receiver. Now, God has made the offer, of course, through Jesus. He offered his salvation for us that confessed our sins and accept Jesus as our Lord. This inheritance is ours. And he goes on to say, in fact, I'll begin the first part of Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So we're heirs, and Romans 8 says we're even joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is so exciting. As I was studying over the book of Genesis and then going into the New Testament for this teaching, Darren, I got so thrilled at the idea that God himself put all these wonderful people as an example for us to follow. What if we didn't have Abraham? Oh, we would have missed so much of what this man did to become an absolute friend of God. And that's why we call this first part of the teaching Abram, friend of God, because he truly was. He first heard from God, Darren, when he was 75 years old. He was living with his wife Sarai and his father Terah and relatives in Ur of the Chaldees. And that was in the region of Mesopotamia, as it was called then. It is Iraq. And how this country has come into world focus. It is with us almost every day in the news, Iraq. And they were worshipers of fire. That's really interesting that they worshipped other gods. So we know by that fact that Terah was an idol maker of sorts in this city of Ur.
You know, I find it very interesting that today in northern Iraq, we have the little group of people. I think they said the other day on the news there were 4 million Kurds in northern Iraq, and they're being persecuted all the time by Saddam.
He's murdered over 120,000 of them, yes.
And you know, they still speak the language that Jesus spoke when he was here on earth.
Yes, that's it.
I find that very, very interesting. But here, Abraham is coming, or Abram in this case. He's not yet Abraham in the story, but he is coming from that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and God gave Abram a command to leave his country and his relatives and journey to Canaan, which the Lord has given to him and his descendants. Now, this was a man. He was alone in this vision. He was the son of probably a very prominent and controlling man, Terah. And here, God gave him this promise, but he had to do something, Darren. He had to leave his father and his relatives. He had to go to a country where he'd never seen. They didn't have maps then. He didn't know where Canaan was. But you know what he did? Well, why don't you read what God told him to do?
Well, I will in just a minute, but I have to say this, that a lot of times we have people that call us for help, and we're saying, you know, maybe the blessing is not where you are. Maybe you need to move. Oh, Darren, I don't think I could move. I don't think I could change jobs. Blah, blah, blah. And they start giving this song and dance and want to say, now, wait a minute. If God is truly down the road 15 miles or 30 miles or 500 miles, then you better get there.
Yes.
And here, one of the amazing things to me about Abram at this point, God says, I want you to go to a country, a part of the world that you've never seen. Now, he probably didn't know that the earth was round. At that point, I don't think they had that knowledge.
Oh, no, they didn't.
So, you know, maybe he had some fears. Well, you know, if I go over to so far, will I fall off the edge of the earth? That had to be one thing. He went without a map. He went without a compass. Of course, in those days, they studied the stars, which is really, you know, better than a compass, really. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't tune into the weather channel and find out what the weather was in that part of the world he was going to. And I was thinking about this lesson this morning. You know, many times when we traveled and frequently travel from here to Tulsa, I have checked in on the weather channel, particularly in the winter time, and they're so accurate that within 10 or 15 miles, you can tell what the weather's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a weather line coming across I-35 south of Wichita, for example. I remember that very clearly. within 10 or 15 miles, they were right on the money with temperature and precipitation and so on. He didn't have those aids.
No, he didn't. And the promise that God gave him was that he would be a great nation. And Darren, he was 75 years old, and his wife Sarai was barren.